take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn to Jeremiah chapter number 5. Jeremiah chapter number 5. Probably the way we would label tonight's sermon, it's a bit of a Bible study. I'm going to move through many, many verses in the Bible very, very quickly. We're going to start in Jeremiah chapter number 5. Once you find Jeremiah chapter 5, locate verse number 22. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 22. Once you've located verse 22, why don't you stand with me? We'll stand out of reverence to the Word of God. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Jeremiah chapter 5, starting with verse 22, and I'm going to read through verse 25. It says this, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, Let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, and his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." Look back at me, if you will. You hear in there the words revolt and rebellious, and it said of God's people, this was talking about there was rebellion among God's people. When you got to verse number 25, he said, because of your rebellion and because of that revolting against God, he said this, he said, your sins have withholden good things from you. You hear me say this a lot. Our biggest enemy is usually ourselves. We hurt ourselves so much in how we handle ourselves. Tonight, we're going to talk about the word rebellion for a little while. Let me pray for us. Father, bless us now. Meet with us in a unique way. Lord, you know how the sermon is structured. I pray that my mind would be quick and capable to keep up with what's planned. And I ask, Holy Spirit of God, that you'll use this to help somebody. Bless us now with thy presence, please. Hinder those things that would interrupt the service. And Father, just in a unique way, take the sermon and get glory to thyself, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. I did something, and I enjoyed doing so. I looked up and studied every time in the Bible the word rebellion is used, and in any form. And it was very, very interesting. I'm going to share with you, and I did this for myself. I did this as a personal Bible study. I just wanted to study that word. I'm going to share with you, and I guess in a way, I'm going to share with you my personal devotion in regard to this subject of rebellion. Now, there's a reason why. We live in a day of what I would call religious rebellion today. Religious rebellion. I think there are actually people out there that are willing to go against what God would prefer religiously. I think we live in an atmosphere of social rebellion. I'm not against social media. I'm against it being misused. And as much as it could be a blessing, it can also be a curse. And I think there is virtually a social rebellion that is very, very active and alive today in our society. I think there is political rebellion. I'm not big on politics. I wish God would get a born-again president that would just let the Bible be his guide. You say, that probably won't happen. I know, but I can keep on wishing. But that's what we need. But there's virtually political rebellion, and America's in pretty bad shape when it comes to the politics of our nation. I think that there is emotional rebellion. I think there are people that are rebellious in their attitude and in their spirit. Now, let me tell you something. It's not always true that you will necessarily quickly recognize rebellion. Have you ever heard someone talk about a quiet rebel or a silent rebel? There are people that can smile and look happy on the outside, but on the inside, they are as rebellious as all get out. Rebellion, sooner or later, is going to work its way out, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, which actually means out of the abundance of the heart, the Christian texteth or emails. or it's what comes out of their hands and what they allow into their ears, but you won't always know that someone is a rebel. I mean, I've discovered rebels, and when I discover them, I thought, oh my, didn't see that coming. That's because there was a hidden rebellion in the heart. But I looked up every time the word rebel or rebellion was used in the Bible, and I'm going to show you some things that I learned from it. We hear the term rebellion a lot. Let me tell you this, rebellion against God and right things never pays. You never do better for yourself when you rebel against right. But what does it mean? Who are the rebellious? What is the behavior of the rebellious? What does God have to say about this matter of rebellion and the rebels? Now, both men and women can be rebellious. Children can be rebellious. Teenagers can be rebellious. Adults can be rebellious. The saved can be rebellious. The lost can be rebellious. The educated can be rebellious. The uneducated can be rebellious. Leaders are rebellious. Followers are rebellious. And this thing of rebellion is something that we won't have any of it in heaven. Happened one time in heaven. God took care of it. Never going to happen again. When we get there, we're not going to have to deal with it anymore. But while we're down here, we have to deal with it. And I'm not so much interested in you saying, all right, yeah, Brother Owens, what you just taught, I'm concerned about so-and-so being a rebel, or my son's a rebel, or my husband's a rebel, or my wife's a rebel. I'd like for you to take a good long look at you. You. You better keep an eye on you to make sure that you're not a rebel. Make sure that you're not rebellious. And we can give an outward appearance of being on board and right with God and happy to serve God, but on the inside, it is amazing what can happen. It's amazing what can be behind the closed doors of the mind, if you will. Let me start out by doing this. I asked myself, what is rebellion? The Webster's Dictionary says it's a resistance to authority. It's an act or a show of disobedience. It is defiance. The root word rebel is one who wars against authority, and they wage their little war in their way, but they war against authority. It's an anarchist. It's an insurgent. It's a mutineer. It's someone that's revolting. It's someone that's antagonistic toward what ought to be done. It's an opposer of leadership. It's an adversary to authority. It's not always, you say, a rebel is somebody that's all tattooed up, and they've got, the man's got long hair down to his waist, and they're doing drugs and drinking Jack Daniels, and you can just see it all over their face. They've got a bad attitude. No, those are not the only ones that are rebels. There could be sitting in this auditorium tonight, on Sunday night in church, somebody that's a rebel in their heart. There's someone that is resisting authority. Now, my sermon's not complicated, but if you'll listen, I just want to show you what I learned about the word rebellion from the Bible. I ask myself, against who can we rebel? And I found this. I found that we can rebel, obviously, against God. I'm going to read to you from Numbers chapter 14, verse number 9, and it says, "Only rebel not ye against the Lord." I want to recommend to everybody in here, don't you ever push God's authority aside. It is a dangerous thing for you to want what you want more than what God wants for you. I'm not gonna talk about it over and over again, but everybody here, whether you're a man, a woman, a child, a teenager, don't rebel against God. And most Christians' rebellion is not a desire to go in the world. It's the Christians' rebellion is they want what they want, not what God wants. And that's not always what I would call a wicked desire. It's they want what they want, not what God wants. So we can rebel against God. So we're answering the question, against who could we rebel? We could rebel against God. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, we're going to find out that we can also rebel against the commandments of God. And in essence, that's rebelling against God. But listen to this. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15, it says, But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you. Now, folks, you say, well, preacher, I would not rebel. I mean, if God stepped into my life and told me to turn right, I would turn right. God doesn't come to you and verbally speak to you, but what God does is he gives you scripture, and the way you rebel against the great God of the universe is when you're told the scripture and you say, I'm not doing it. I'll do it my own way. I'll do what I want. And so be careful. We can rebel against God. How do we rebel against God? We rebel against God by rebelling against his commandments. Not only that. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, and young people, you knew this was coming. We can rebel against our parents. I'll read to you Deuteronomy 21, verse number 20. The Bible says, and they shall say unto the elder of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton, and he is a drunkard. Let me explain. The Bible's making it very clear. A child can become a rebel toward their parents. Look, young people, your pastor, you're stuck with a pastor that believes the Bible. You're supposed to respect your mom and dad. If mama tells you to be quiet, you know what you're supposed to do? You're to be quiet. If daddy tells you to sit down, you're to sit down. If mom and dad give you instruction, you're to follow that instruction. And if you don't, God considers that a rebellion. You say, well, I'm not out drinking liquor, and I'm not doing drugs, and I'm not listening to filthy rock and roll music. You don't have to do that to be a rebel. You just go against the authorities that God set up in your life. Notice in that verse there, it says, he will not obey our voice. In other words, mom or dad said to do something, and the child did not. And God said, you're a rebel. Which means this. If mom says, take out the trash, you're to take it out the first time she asks. The voice here, there's not to be a repetitive insistence that you do right. The minute mom tells you to do something and you don't, then you have become rebellious towards your mother at that moment. It says, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think that means. It says he's a glutton. You say, does that mean he eats too much? No, I think God's trying to say, you live in the house and you eat mom and dad's food, but you don't want to do what mom and dad said. I'm going to guess God's saying you're enjoying the delicacies of a mom and dad that provide you food. Then dad asks you to clean your room and you won't do it. And he says you're a glutton and you're a rebel and you are to do what mom and dad tell you to do. Now, so we're talking about rebellion. And again, we want to label the rebel this wild-looking, you know, motorcycle-riding, chain dragon, baseball bat-swinging, violent, weird, wild, crazy dude. No. It could be a Christian sitting in church on Sunday night that won't do what they're supposed to do. So we can rebel against God. We can rebel against the commandments of God. We can rebel against our parents. I'll read to you from the book of Job. In Job chapter number 24, verse number 13, it says that we can rebel against the light. It says, they are of those that rebel against the light. The light. It says, they know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the path thereof. The light. You say, well, preacher, what exactly is the light? Well, Jesus is the light. John 14:6. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. The direction that you're supposed to go. You know, God has shown some light on some things for you. In other words, there are some things God has taught you from the Bible. He shined a light on the truth. And you know that truth. Let me tell you something. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now let me explain. If you know, if you've learned something from the Bible, whether you totally understand or not, you're supposed to obey it. But if you understand it and you're not obeying it, what that verse means, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is exceeding sin, because you know better. So we can be rebellious by not doing what we know to do. Look, If you've been taught something from the Bible, and you know you're supposed to do that something, and you're choosing not to do that something, God said, that's exceedingly wrong. You're a rebel. That doesn't mean you walk around the church with a bad attitude, throwing yourself around, but on the inside, you've rebelled. You've rebelled. The Bible teaches us very clearly, and I won't go into all these. I've got tons of verses. I can't give them all to you tonight, but I'll tell you this. The Bible makes it very clear. The Bible uses the word rebellion in regard to a woman that will not submit to her husband. It is the word rebellion. It's not a popular thing in this day and age to preach because it's not politically correct, but the Bible still teaches that a woman is to be in subjection to her husband. She should listen to his guidance, and she should submit to him physically. She should submit to him spiritually, but God uses the term rebel for a woman that won't. So you can walk around here, and you can wear your skirt, and you can smile, and you can be nice to everybody, and you can spout off to your husband at home and not do when he directs. And God said, you're a rebel. You're a rebel. Everybody okay? All right. The Bible says that you can rebel against your pastor or your spiritual leader. God says that we can rebel against the laws of the land. God says we can rebel. It doesn't use the word nature, but it talks about those elements out there. You know, there's certain things. You're not going to go against a flood and live through it. And God is saying there are times when you need to submit to what's happening around you. But I just ask myself, against who can we rebel? We can rebel against God. You say, how do we do that? By rebelling against his word. We rebel against parents. We rebel against the light. We could rebel against a husband. We could rebel against a pastor. We could rebel against leadership. We could rebel against the laws of the land. Now, I don't think we're to submit to every law of the land. I think if the law of the land was written and it was against the word of God, then we're to submit to the word of God. They came along and said, every woman, you're going to have an abortion if you get pregnant because we're going to limit you to two children in your lifetime and you're suddenly pregnant with your third. And so, you know, there are countries that do that. If I were in a country, they were forcing the abortion of my child because I had a third on the way and they limited you to two, I would have to go against the law. Why? There is a greater law than the law of man, which is the law of God. But if they come along and they say to you and I, look, you're going to have to, okay, you need to get a license so that you can fish. Now, that's not a big deal. I don't think God's mad if you go get a license to fish. Now, I've seen some of you fish. You're better off not buying the license. You're better off doing away with your fishing pole altogether. And a few of you shouldn't have golf clubs either. But... oh, but when you come down to the moral laws and the doctrines of God, they always supersede what man would do or what government would request. Okay, so we ask ourselves the question, against who could we rebel? Now, I want to talk to you a little bit what I found out about the consequences of rebellion. I'm going to start out in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse number 8. And so you all understand, this is how I study my Bible. I go in and I start looking at something, and I just want to understand that something. And often, I'll look up every single time. There have been times I've looked up 400 verses on the same subject because I want to understand, how does God see that? Now, this thing of the consequences of being a rebel. Joshua 1:18 says this. Listen to this consequence. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy word in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. That's very interesting. Now, remember, lost people can be rebels, and saved people can be rebels. And I'm not trying to scare you. Our God is a good God and a loving God, and our God gives us chance after chance after chance after chance. But I'll tell you something. The Bible makes it very clear. You become stiff-necked enough, and you become rebellious enough toward God, especially, hey, that those of you that you come to church and you smile and everybody, you just give everybody the impression you're the second coming of Mother Teresa or whoever. We just all convinced you can outsmile Joel Osteen. And but brother, you just got us all convinced you're just really, really spiritual. But if you're rebellious on the inside and there is something that you know that you ought to be doing in regard to your life for God and you don't do it and you perpetually won't do it, God said, there's some people that rebel, they die because of it. Now, I didn't write the book, I just preach it. But it's obvious if you don't, there are times when God may choose that someone's life be taken because of rebellion. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse number 38, I'm going to read another verse to you. It says in Ezekiel 20, verse 38, it says, "And I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me." Now, what you say, what is that teaching? Now, we're looking at the consequences of this thing of being rebellious. You could die from it. Now it says you're being purged out. What's it mean? You're being pushed aside. You're being cut out of something. In other words, I think a rebel in their life, if they're not careful, they're going to miss a lot of things because God's going to set you aside. It's almost like being set on a shelf. God said, "You're a rebel. I'll take you to heaven when you die, but there's going to be a lot of absence of blessing in your life because I'm cutting you off. I'm pushing you aside." He didn't say, "I'm killing you." But in this case, he said, "I'm purging you out." You're being cut out of some things that maybe others might enjoy. Now, I found rebels can die. I found rebels can be cut off or pushed to the side. Then I found out in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 20, that rebels can be devoured. Let me see if I can find it here. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 20, it says this, "But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured." Wow, devoured. That's a pretty powerful word. Let me tell you something. You know, there's a certain amount of prosperity that you can have in this world and in this country. If you say, I don't seem to go forward in anything, is it possible that there's rebellion in your life and your prosperity is being devoured? Is it being devoured? Now, so you all know, there is an element of victory in Jesus. And you do live in the United States of America, which still, though we are not what we ought to be, we're still the finest country on the face of this earth. And there still is opportunity, and you can still succeed, and you can still prosper. But if I were a Christian in this day and age, and I couldn't seem to go forward at all, what I would do is I would check my inward rebellion. There may be rebellion, and because of that rebellion, my prosperity is being devoured. You say, "Well, I'm not sure I believe that." Then go to Malachi chapter 3 and see if God does not say that He has the ability, if you'll do right by God financially, He can rebuke the what? The devourer. What happens is when we rebel, God said, "I will withhold from you." Matter of fact, I can even begin taking what you already have. Is God doing that because He hates me? Is God doing that because He's mad? No, God loves you, and God said, "Maybe I'll get your attention. If I limit your prosperity, maybe you'll get that rebellion out of your life so I could use you again." Let's move on. What are the consequences of rebellion? I think Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 11, and I seen this, and it interested me very much what God says here. One of the other consequences is that you will have to learn in life through cruel processes. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 17:11, it says, "An evil man will seek only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him." I can't tell you exactly what that messenger is, but I'm going to tell you what I think that teaches. I think when we're guilty of rebellion, and repetitive rebellion, and we won't let God lead us to submission in whatever area, God then will find ways to get your attention. He said, "A cruel messenger will be sent." What's that messenger about to do? Well, that messenger is trying to get your attention. What's a messenger? I don't know what the messenger may be. We do know that there is a messenger called death, but you don't have a whole lot of chance to fix it after you're dead. But I just want to warn you, the Bible makes it clear that there is a chastening. And if you're rebellious, God has a way of sending a messenger to get your attention. You say, "What's that messenger?" I'm not trying to put an unspiritual fear in you, but you do understand God has control over everything. He has control over your job, your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your parents, your money, your health. What's a cruel messenger? Well, we would consider it awful cruel if something happened to something or someone that we loved. You'd say, that would be cruel. I don't know what God would do. But God has a way to get your attention. If there is rebellion in you, and you know there's something you ought to be doing, and you will not do it, God said, that's rebellion. And I have a way. I've tried to get you to give in. You know what you ought to do, and you will not do what you ought to do. God said, well, if by my love and kindness and graciousness you won't do right, I guess we can turn up the heat a little bit. And that's where that harsh messenger comes to get our attention. Now, what are signs of rebellion? Well, according to Deuteronomy 31:23, and let me see if I can find it here real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 27, it says this, "For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day." Stiff neck, if you understand, the stiff neck is, that's pride. That's somebody that's set in their way, they're going to do their own thing. So, what is a sign of rebellion? Pride is a sign of rebellion. If any of you that have been around the church for long, you know that pride, pretty well, it's one of the root sins that bring everything else on. Our rebellion stems from our pride, and it makes it very clear. Stiff-necked and being proud is a sign of rebellion. Now, let me give you another verse. I think lying is a sign of rebellion. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 9, it says that this is a rebellious people, a lying children. Now, let me explain. If you are a liar, that is a sign of rebellion. You say, rebellion against what? The truth. Now, who's the truth? Jesus. So lying is a sign of rebellion. That's lying to yourself, young people. When you lie to mom, that's rebellious. When you lie to dad, that's rebellious. Husbands, when you lie to your wife, that's rebellion. Wives, when you lie to your husband, that's rebellion. When you lie to your pastor, that's rebellion. If I lie to you, that's rebellion. So, what are the signs of this thing called rebellion? Pride, lying. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 23, gives us another sign of rebellion. Isaiah 1:23 says this, "Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves." You know what the Bible is telling us there? The rebellious have rebellious companions. It's talking about those that are rebels end up being the companions of other rebels. I've been in churches. I've worked with youth departments. You know, you can take a rebellious teenager to a church where there are 100 teenagers. In the church's youth department, there could be two rebellious kids in the 100 in that church's department. You can take a new kid to that church. If the new kid's a rebel, it takes him about 30 minutes to figure out where the rebels are. And before you know it, you now have three rebellious people in the youth department. Rebels find rebels. You show me what you're rebellious about, even within the church, you have probably found somebody else in the church that agrees with that, and you're rebellious together. This is how it works. And the Bible says, a sign of rebellion is pride, a sign of rebellion is lying, a sign of rebellion is rebellious companionships. Let's go on. There's something else that God says here. It's a sign of rebellion. It's found in Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 1. The very first part of the verse says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me." Now God is saying, one of the signs of being a rebel is that you get counsel, but you don't get your counsel from God. You get counsel, but it's not godly counsel. Now let me explain a little of that to you very quickly. I counsel with people in my office. There are people that would come to my office. They would sit down and I would talk to them, and they might share something that they want to work on, and we get in the Bible and we study it. But I talk to them. Now, that's counsel. But wait, that's not the only kind of counsel. The books you read counsel you. The music you listen to counsels you. There's some of you, you watch talk shows on television that are counseling you, but those that are giving you information are as wicked as the devil. So God said one of the signs of rebellion is from who you receive your counsel. But not only that. The next thing that I found, it's not only from who you get your counsel, but one of the signs of rebellion is what I'd call the compounding of disobedience or the compounding of sin in one's life. Listen again to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. It says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me." We just discussed that part of the verse. Now the second part of the verse. "And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." What it is saying here is rebellious people will rebel in one area, and because they don't take care of it, it's not long until they're rebellious in two areas. And it won't be long until they're rebellious in three areas. And I'll show you an area. Let me help you. Let me give you a little practical application. If you're a Christian and you know better than to be listening to rock and roll or country music, and then you launch out and you go do it and you become a rebel in that area, I'll guarantee you it won't be long until you'll be a rebel in another area. Guarantee it. It will lead you right into rebellion in another area. It always does. They say marijuana is a drug that leads you to other drugs. What do they call that? That's what a gateway drug. Rock and roll is a gateway sin. Country is a gateway sin. It leads you to other things. You say, why? Because the counsel you get out of it. You're not going to listen to somebody singing about sleeping with somebody else's wife, even if they've got cowboy boots on, and that not be a counsel to you. And then you wonder why your marriage is a mess. You listen to music that talks about marriages that are in a mess and an immoral country, and then you wonder why your marriage is in a mess. Before long, you'll be listening to the counsel that you're getting through the music that you're listening to. Because your music counsels you. The books you read, they counsel you. The shows you watch on television, they counsel you. And it's a sign of rebellion. Let's go on. A couple of you, if you don't take a breath, you die from a lack of oxygen. Signs of rebellion, pride, lying, rebellious companions, wrong counsel, the compounding of sin where one is a gateway sin to another. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 23, this is the favorite verse about rebellion. This is one that everybody uses. It's one of many in the Bible. But in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 23, it says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Now, the word witchcraft there, it actually comes from the Hebrew word pharmakia. It's where we get our word pharmacy. And that is the abuse of drugs. Whether they be street bought drugs in a plastic bag that you bought from a flunky on the corner, or you misuse your prescription drug, but God says that's rebellious. Well, not that only. Really, a witch in the Bible, in that case, that part of witchcraft had to do with the misuse of drugs. But with a witch, what really made a witch what a witch was, it was somebody, by Bible definition, who sought guidance from leadership that was evil leadership. That's what a witch was. A witch sought other powers to lead them, demonic powers. We are not to seek counsel from wicked things. What do they call that? Your horoscope. Your horoscope, your Ouija board's not going to give you a good idea about whether you ought to work Sunday night or come to church. But a witch was known for seeking advice from powers that were not of God, which, so you know, you doing what you want to do could fall into that. You're not to do what you want to do, you're to do what God wants you to do. So, here's what I've said so far. We can rebel against God, we can rebel against His commandments, we can rebel against our parents, we can rebel against the light. Wives rebel against husbands, people rebel against pastors and leaders and laws, and then the natural forces. The consequences of rebellion can be death, it can be cut off or set aside. We can be devoured, or our success can be eaten up and taken from us. God said one of those consequences is that you may have to have an evil messenger sent and some pretty harsh occurrences so he can get your attention. Then the signs of rebellion are pride, lying, rebellious companions, wrong counsel, the compounding of sins using one as a gateway to others, and then it's compared to witchcraft. That's what we've said so far. Now, let me give you a couple warnings and we'll be done and we'll go home. The Bible warns us, don't be a teacher of rebellion. I'm going to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 16. It says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of this earth. This year thou shalt die because thou hast taught rebellion." Taught it. Older brothers and sisters, look up here at your pastor for a second. You understand your little brothers and sisters are watching you and they're learning from you how to respond to mom and dad. Every older brother, every older sister, you ought to be setting example to your little brother and your little sister about not rebelling against mom and not rebelling against dad and not rebelling against God. Brothers and sisters are very influential with their siblings. And God said, don't you be a teacher of rebellion. Husbands, you should not teach your wife to rebel against God. Leadership of the church, you should never teach people to rebel against the Word of God, to rebel against the Holy Spirit, to rebel. If the pastor's doing right, you shouldn't rebel against the authority of the pastor that's placed upon him by Almighty God. But it's warning about the teaching of rebellion. Now, you say, Pastor, I would have thought that was talking about in the liberal institutions and universities in our country where they're standing up and teaching communism and humanism, and a teacher stands up and teaches a whole semester on humanism and how it's right. Well, it may be talking about that, but when we studied the origin, God was mainly concerned about Christians that are rebellious, and we want to be careful that we are not teaching rebellion by way of example, or even in our words. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 9, it says this, "An adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." Here the Bible says, there are some that look rebellious. It talked about a rebellious look. And I am convinced, every parent here, have you ever seen the rebellious look? Yeah, you can tell. Now, you can't always see the rebellious look. There can be a smile on the outside while there's a rebel on the inside. That happens all the time. But the Bible does say there is a rebellious look. I think in our culture, we've seen it. We've seen time and time again in our culture among the lost people, there is a rebellious look. There's a way that they flaunt their rebellion. But let's be careful. Let's not carry a rebellious look. God warns against it. In Jeremiah chapter 5, and we're getting very close to the end of this thing. Jeremiah chapter 5, I'm going to read to you verse 23 and 24. It says this, "But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God." Now, look back at me. Here's the last thing I'm going to tell you. This says there are people that are rebels. And you can talk to them about being rebellious. But it says they don't fear God. And this is where I'm concluding the sermon. If you have rebellion in your heart, you say, "I see it. I've not spoken to you. I mentioned some bad music, but I didn't hardly mention any particular sin tonight. I'm sure 99% of this sermon has not been about a particular sin. It's been about the subject of rebellion. But while I was preaching, did you happen to think about something that you might be rebellious about? Are you being rebellious about something right now? You know it. You're not what you could be. You're not what you used to be for God. You're not what you should be for God. And you know it. And you know the area in which you're rebellious. This says, "Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, So, Pastor, I don't care what you say about rebellion. I don't fear God. That is a very dangerous position to put oneself. When the Holy Spirit of God, when the Word of God points out to you an area of rebellion, and then you don't take care of it, God said, you don't fear me. Rebellion is dangerous. Rebellion destroys families, marriages, people, churches, countries. I just decided I wanted to study the word rebellion. Oh, it was amazing when it started to unfold. I could go on for the next 2 hours and take you from verse to verse to verse to verse. I've just given you the highlights. You know what I want? I don't want to be rebellious. And remember, you can be rebellious on the inside and we don't know it on the outside. Some, hey, if it's to the point where you're rebellious on the outside, you were rebellious for a long time on the inside before we ever got to see it. You're just seeing the maturity of that rebellion. And I'm not using the word maturity in a positive way. I'm saying, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth now speaketh. It was in there and brewing, and now that thing has it's grown wings and it's flying. It's no longer a caterpillar. It's full-out rebellion. Oh, let's be careful. Let's not rebel against God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wish some of you would let the sermon convict you. Is there something going on in your life right now, and you know you're rebellious, and you know it's not supposed to be there? You know it. You're rebelling in that area. And I don't have to point out to you what it is, because I believe if you're saved, God's probably already spoken to you. Search your heart. Hey, are you willing to pray this prayer right now? Are you willing to say, Dear Lord, bring something to my mind? If I'm rebellious in that given area, will you bring it to my mind right now? Well, He will. Well, what will you do about it? We're going to have an altar call. In a moment, I'll ask the pianist to begin to play, and she'll begin to play. Then we'll stand. If you need a moment at this altar, I indeed wish that you would use it if you need it. Father, take the invitation and get glory to thyself, please. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if the pianist will begin to play, let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Is there an area in which you're rebellious? You're shunning the leadership of God? You know there's something in there. It's not supposed to be in there. You know you've got something in your life that should not be there. You say, well, I'm not afraid. You preacher, you can tell me that it could bring death. You can tell me it will hinder me from being prosperous. But I'm not afraid. That's a sad condition to find oneself in. And let me tell you, God has the ability to get your attention. And I'm just trying to warn you. If I were you, I'd get it straightened out, because God may say, it may be God is going to use a sermon like this, and He's saying, now listen, you either take care of it now, or I will get your attention this week, and you'll be sorry, and you'll look back and say, the preacher, God tried to use that preacher to warn me. God tried to use that preacher to get my attention, but I would not listen. I justified it. I seen it my way instead of seeing it God's way. I did what I wanted. We are rebellious religiously and socially and politically and emotionally. America's in a state of rebellion. Anarchists, insurgents, mutineers, revolters, antagonistic toward right and wrong. And you don't have to be a long-haired freak of a man to be rebellious. You could be clean-cut and be rebellious. Really and honestly, if you're to the point where the sin that's in your life, it doesn't bother you, God calls that being hard-hearted. When you won't do what you're supposed to do, God calls it becoming hard-hearted. He said that a stiff-necked person could suddenly be destroyed in that without remedy. God said, I may just go ahead and take you to heaven. You won't listen. Say, is God that mean? No, God's that gracious. Before you mess up any further or mess anybody else up, God could transfer you to heaven. Say, I'll take you to heaven. That way you're better off.